Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf kuf, and we're holding six lines from the top of the Amud where the Gemara begins. Rapapa Omar, what is this referring to? You'll recall that the Gemara on the bottom of the Amud Beis asked, "Can you define what is an apikoiris?" And the Gemara said, among other things, someone who is mevaza a Talmud Chacham, who goes and says, for instance, "My ahani rabbanan." What did the Rabbanan help me? I don't need the Rabbanan. I know all that I need to know, and these Rabbanan are just a bunch of bank fetchers, Leidigayers, means nobodies. Those are all terrible words. He's an apikoyis. Rapapa Omar, six lines from the top, Kigoyin di Omar Hani Rabbanan. He refers to them as those rabbis. Those rabbis. Rashi says what he should be saying is, Rabbi Seinu Sheba Mokim Ployni. The rabbis that live in New York, Brooklyn, New Jersey, those rabbis are said with such a disdain, that's a real mockery. It's despicable, it's gefährlich, and that is called an apikoyis. Rapopi himself, Rapopi Ishtali, one time he forgot in the middle of a discussion, a shir, whatever, the Omer Kigoyin Hani Rabbana, you know, like those rabbis. And then he said, uh-oh, I just violated what I just said myself. And therefore he sat in Tanis to cleanse himself from this terrible sin that he had. Okay, the Gemara tells us now that the din of being mevaza doesn't only apply to Talmud Chacham, it could also apply to the Svarim themselves. If Ariel was here, he would say to the scripture. What is that? Levi bar Shmuel Rav Huna bar Chia have a kamasakni mitpachos sifri devei Rav Yehuda. A mitpachas is a mentala. What's a mentala? If you have a Sefer Torah and you're doing Hagbor Galila and you're putting the mantle on, that's called a mentala. That you put on the sefer. Now apparently they have similar mitpachos, similar mentala. That's a different type of mitpachas. Yes, that's correct. But the mitpachas we're talking about is a sefer Torah. Ki ha-mesakli mitpachas sifri devei Rav Yehuda. The svarim in devei Rav Yehuda. We're not talking about women's mitpachas. We're talking about those mentalach sifri devei Rav Yehuda. The reason why the women's head coverings are also called mitpachas because both of them are coverings. This mitpachas covers the sefer Torah, and this covers her hair. So they're both the same in that they're both covers. But that's about the only similarity between them. Anyway, Kimotu Megillas Esther, when it came to Megillas Esther, now as many of you know, especially if you have a Megillas Esther, most Megillas do not have a mantle. People just hold on to the cloth, or they have the cloth inside some box, either made out of wood or made out of silver or whatever, but it doesn't have a mantle on it. So now they, Levi bar Shmuel Rav Huna bar Chia, said, Amri, HaMegillas Esther, light boy mitpachas. I don't think it needs a mitpachas. Rashi says that they were addressing this to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the head of the Sifri Debei Rav Yehuda. He was the Rav or the Rosh Hashiva or whatever. And they said, we don't think it needs a mitpachas, does it? Does it need a mitpachas? So says Rashi, what they should have said was, Rav Yehuda, Rabbi, tell us, what do you think? Does it need a mitpachas? Or does it not need a mitpachas? By them asking it in such a rhetorical fashion, we don't think it needs a mitpachas. What do you say, Rabbi Yehuda? What do you say, Rabbi? That was not speaking with the full degree of covet and respect. Amalahu, ki hay gavna nami mechzik yaf kirusa. Speaking in that form. When you have your Rabbi here, you want to know, yes or no, ask him. But don't go and answer your own question and say, am I right? Ask what he holds. This also looks a little bit like an apikoyis. Apikoyis means that he's mevaza, their Rebbe. And similarly, Rav Nachman Omar. I have another definition of being mevaza one's Rebbe. Say, I call the Rabbi Bishmoy. If you call your own Rebbe by his first name, where do we find? Yossi, exactly. If your Rebbe's name is Rabbi Yossi, and you say, hey, Yossi, Takin Hashayim. Or Joey. Joe was even worse. Yomer of Yoichanan. You all know that Gehazi was punished. In fact, in the Mishnah back in Daf Tzadik, we said that there are four head Yoitois that do not get Chevi Boilem Abba, and Gehazi was one of them. And as we go through the Parakim Yitzchim, we're going to talk much more about Gehazi. Who was Gehazi? Gehazi, as you all know, was the Shamis, the Gabbis for Elisha. And the famous story about Gehazi and Elisha was that Naaman, who was the star general of Aram, came to Elisha and said, I heard you, the Groisa Vundarabina, that you can go and take off my tzaras, because I've now gone to numerous doctors and rabbis, not rabbis, but Christian leaders and others, and they all promised me with all types of remedies, and so Gunish Kaholfen, none of them worked. So maybe you can help me. And guess what he did? He said, go to the yard and toivel 7 times, and the tzaras will go away. Naaman was furious. The yard, this is Gunish. It's like a swimming pool compared to, I already toivel in the Euphrates and the Tigris, you know, big mammoth oceans, mammoth. Yard is Gunish. And he got a little bit upset. And then some of his advisors said, listen, you're here already, you know, jump in, buskinshin's on. Worst comes to worst, you wasted your time, you got wet. So Yitaka went into the Yarden, traveled 7 times, comes out, and miraculously the tzaras goes away. And then Naaman comes back to Elisha and says, Elisha, what can I pay you? What can I do for you? Wow, what you did, you took off the tzaras. I'm so happy, I'm so glad. And Elisha said, nothing, can't do anything. Sagizint, go home, kotev. And of course, that was a big Kiddush Hashem. He didn't ask him for a nickel. And then 10 minutes later, Gehazi says, hey, why didn't he ask him for a nickel? I could use a nickel. So he runs after him and he says, Elisha changed his mind and blah, blah, blah. So eventually, when Gehazi comes home, Elisha knew all about what was going on. And he said that the tzaras of Naaman should go on you and on your children. And that's why in Parsha Shmini, right, or Parsha Metzora, what's the Haftoira? The Arba Mitzurah.
One of them is Gehazi and his
sons. And his sons. Anyway, so the Masa, Gehazi, as we'll see from our Gemara, one of the reasons why he got punished was Yishakor l'Rabbi b'Shmoy. He didn't say, Reb Elisha, Harav Elisha, Hagoyne Tzadik Reb Elisha. What did he say? Elisha. Shnem is in the Pasuk. The young Gehazi Adoni HaMelech, Elisha. He didn't say Adoni Moiriv Rabbi Elisha. He just said Elisha. That's an apikayus. Talked more about it. Yosef Rami Yemi Kami Reb Zeir of Yosef Kama. Osir Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lohitzi Nachal Mipeis Kodesh Hakadoshim. We're talking about Mashiach and Olam Haba. The time will come. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to have a Nachal. Nachal is like a river, a stream, that's going to leave the Kodesh Kodeshim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Olav, and on the two banks of this Nachal will be Kol Minei Megodim. Megodim means all different types of delicacies, but in particular, beautiful, sweet fruit. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, Ve'al HaNachal, next to this river, Yal Al Tzvosim Mizeh Mizeh, you'll have on both banks, both sides of the river, will arise Kol Eitz Machol Lo Yivar. Any good Eitz Machol, where you can go and eat fruits, Lo Yivar. It will not wither. It's not going to rot. It's going to remain stark. Oleyu V'lo Yitoy. And sorry? Oleyu is referring to its Alim. Alim mean the leaves. Thank you. Lo Yitoy, and they're not going to end. Piri L'chadosh of Yivakir. And the Peiris, every month, are going to be harvestable, if there is such a word. In other words, you don't have to wait 3 months, 5 months to harvest. Every month you'll be able to cut new pears. Because these waters are leaving the base of Mikdash. You'll be able to eat the pears for eating. For aleyu again, the alim, the leaves, the trufa, for a medical remedy. What those medical remedies are, we'll see in a moment. Now, the Masa, this is a beautiful pasuk over here. It's telling us what's going to happen. Nachal is going to come out of the Kodesh Kodeshim. It's going to be beautiful with trees and leaves and kibaldik. What does this have to do with us? Amalei, so the Gemara says, Amalei hahu saba yiyashe. And Barry's immediately looking at me saying, you know, the toises on chulin davova medalef.
And it says, top
toises. When it says hahu saba, it's typically referring to Eliyahu HaNavi. There's one exception.
In Shabbos.
Good. So, presumably the hahu saba that we're talking about is talking about none other than Eliyahu HaNavi. Anyway, what did he say when he heard this Torah of Rabbi Yirmiyah on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph 100a? He said, Yiyasher, geschmack. This is good. As a fine shtickle tater. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. The question is, when Rabbi Yirmiyah said his Dvar Torah, did he need an audience to go and say, Shkoyach, he did a great job? No. So the Gemara says, maybe this is a form of apikursis. As the Gemara says, Omle Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zeira, ki hai gavna, merci apikursa. Does this look like apikursis? Rashi adds the word, mi merci apikursa. Does this look like apikursis? Meaning, who asked them for their Shkoyach? I know that it was good, I said it, and so therefore, perhaps by them saying Shkoyach is as if they are
lowering
me, right, to a certain degree.
Oh, yes, sir, can that'll dumb me.
Oh, very good. So that's what he asked him. Amalei saying, nah, come on. Oh, hi. Siyuyaka Messiah. If anything, he's supporting you. He's saying good things. Go and give him the Nobel Peace Prize. Don't go and criticize him. Nah. You're not because you're not. It's very nice of him to say Shkoyach. Sorry?
Who's he, Rabbi Yochanan? Or
Rabbi Yirmiyah?
It's, well, we started off that Rabbi Yirmiyah was the one that gave the drasha. Yes, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Yosef HaKomar, and he said this pasuk. And then after that, the Gemara said, Ahu Saba, who may or may not be Eliyahu HaNavi, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Yashe, Shkoyach is good. So now, Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zeira, tell me, is that apikursis that he wanted to tell me is good? You know, do I really need his Shkoyach? Do I need his saying, yeah, me too? Well, who is he compared? You know, Baruch Hashem, I don't need him. So Amalei told him, don't get so agitated. Forget, you should be very thankful. They're saying nice things about you. Both the Hausaba and Rabbi Yochanan says it's good. You should say, Shkoyach, thank you very much for the compliment and for complimenting me. So where could it be a situation of apikorsis? Oh, Elishmielach, Hoshmielach. If you heard a story that someone said Yiyasha, and then we punch the guy in the nose and say, you're a no good Nick, it's like the following story. And we had this story not too long ago, as you recall, back in Masechtas Bava Basra. It's a famous story that Gemara brings, Kihadi Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, the Kadarish. Rabbi Yochanan was darshaning, he said the following. Osir Kadosh Baruch Hu Lahavi Avonim Toivois Umargolios Shein Shloishim Al Shloishim Amois. A Kadosh Baruch Hu, at the times of Mashiach, times of loss of Lavoi, he's going to bring these huge Avonim Toivois. Avonim Toivois means precious gemstones. Like you go on 47th Street, you look up the Rappaport report, and you look for a gemstone, the Shenst and the Besta, and a Margulios, and beautiful pearls, and other precious stones. And you know how big these stones are going to be? Not like the stones that you put on your finger. Shloishim al shloishim amois. 30 by 30 amois. And amma, according to Chazonish, is 2 feet. So therefore, 60 feet by 60 feet. One stone, can you imagine? B'choikik behem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow for people to chisel the stone, not to chisel the price, but to chisel the stone to a point of eser b'roim esrim. 10 by the height of 20. 20 by 10. And what are we going to do with these stones? Umamidan b'shar Yishalayim. These are going to become the new doors of Yerushalayim. When you want to enter Yerushalayim, you'll see, wow, precious stone, beautiful doors. Can you imagine? 20 amas tall, 40 feet tall, one stone. And not just stone, a marble stone. We're talking about beautiful, gorgeous stones.
So be praised door to door.
So be praised door to door. Anyway, Shalem, how do I know? It says in the Pasuk, Samti kad koit shim shoy saich, ushirayich li avnei ektoch. Kad koit, says Rashi, is an even toiva. In other words, a very precious stone. Shim shoy saich, says Rashi, that these are going to be transparent stones, like glass. Why? So that the shemesh should go through, so that it should be nice and lit up and warm on the other side. Ushirayach and Yosha'orim, the avning ektach, will be to yun, H-E-W-N, stones.
It means
yun stones, right. Stones that are cut nicely and chiseled and cut and beautifully. And that's what's going to happen. That was Rabbi Yochanan's drasha. It was a Talmud, Ligleg Olav Uysi Talmud. There was one Talmud who was poking fun and he was mocking Rabbi Yochanan. What did he say? Omar, come on. Rabbi, give me a break. Hashe kibayasa de tziltzula le mishkachinan. Kulehai mishkachinan. You go on 47th Street. What's the biggest stone you can go and give me? You can't even find a stone which is large as a tziltzula. What's a tziltzula? Says Rashi, oif katan. Small bird, like a small dove. You can't even find one stone which is like the egg of a small bird. Egg of a small bird is quite small, a small little egg. Okay, how much could that be? Maybe it's 10 carats, maybe it's 20 carats, maybe it's 50 carats, but that's all it's going to be. And you're talking about 30 by 30? Come on, this is ridiculous. Okay. The Yomim, after a period of time, in other words, 2 weeks later or 2 months later, if this Talmud decided to go and take a voyage on the sea, we don't know whether he was taking a Jewish heritage tour or he was just taking and we're just going to
carnival.
We don't know what he was doing, but he took a Svina Bayam, and then he sees in his binoculars or he sees in his telescope Chazim al Malachi Asharis, that they're malachim there on the water, the kamenasri, that they are cutting with an axe or a hatchet or whatever. Avonim toivis amargolias. Oh, the very precious stones that we're talking about. Amalahu. And he asked them, Hani Laman, who wants these huge stones that you are cutting? Amri osa de kadosh lahamida mishari yishaloyim. We're cutting these stones so that they should be for the Shari Yishalayim. That's why we're doing it. When he saw that, he realized, hey, Rebbe was right after all. He heard when he returned, Rabbi Yochanan was still darshan, he was still learning, not the same drasha, obviously, but he was still continuing to give drashas and shiurim and yeshiva. Amalei Rebbe, drosh ulachanor lidrosh. You should keep on darshaning this 120 till 120 in good health. Kishem shamarta, just like you said a few weeks ago, that will be avonim tovis and magulias, which are shloishim and shloishim amos, and we're going to cut it down to 10 by 20. Kachra isi, I saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I took a picture of it and it went viral. It went around the whole world 18 times already. That's how beautiful. How, Rebbe, you are brilliant. How did you know that I saw it with my own eyes? Rabbi Yochanan was not impressed. Omalon, he said to his Talmud, Rika, you empty one, from Lashon Reik.
Right.
If you wouldn't have seen it, you wouldn't have believed it. Obviously, he wouldn't have believed it, because he said before, you can't even find a precious stone as big as a small little egg. So you're going to tell me that now you believe it all of a sudden? It's only because you saw it. Without that, you wouldn't have believed it. If that's the case, you are mocking Divrei Chacham, meaning the drasha that I just shared with you before about the 30 by 30 stones. Rabbi Yochanan looked at him, and that Talmud unfortunately passed away. Now the word Gal Shel Atzamos literally, of course, means a heap of bones. And you find this expression a few times in Shas.
More in Shabbos, when Shimba Yochai looks at the...
And they come out of the Mara.
Right.
Good. Rashi told us over here, it doesn't literally mean Gal Shel Atzamos, it means that he died. If you look on the right-hand side of the Rashi, six lines before the end, Gal Shel Atzamos, Shemes, he died. The Odom Shemes, Nasa Gal Shel Atzamos. Anybody that passes away, what's left? Just a heap of bones. Yes, temporarily, of course, there's flesh, but we know the flesh doesn't last forever. The only thing that will remain eventually will be the bones. And make no bones about it. Okay, so...
What was the whole story about the Sather Talmud was going off to on a ship? How does that connect? Where was he going to retrieve these?
You're talking about this Talmud here?
He saw a student going wrong.
I'm not sure what you're saying. What the Gemara tells us over here is that a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan went on a boat. It doesn't tell us why, when, where he went.
I see. Just, that's, he saw this somewhere.
He witnessed as he was traveling from New York to London, midway, next to Greenland, which is soon going to become a colony of the United States. He passed and he saw a state, okay, 51st state, after Panama or whatever else. Anyway, or Gaza, doesn't make a difference. Anyway, Rabbi Isai, he saw a bunch of malachim that were chiseling stones, and why are you doing it? We're doing it for the Shari Yishalayim. Really? Wow, these are huge stones. So he saw that it's Taka Emes, what the Rebbe had said.
And the reason he saw it was because Rabbi Yochanan had, had floated the idea.
Yochanan floated the idea. Very good.
You see that even eggs were expensive then, they're like precious stones.
Wow. Now we continue on. Great Gemara in Meisvei. Boiluch Eschem Kaimimias. At the time of the Asad Lovoi, then the Kaddish Baruch was going to have us all go, Rashi says, crazy, it's not a Rashi. Over here, Rashi Kumri says, the coin is a kufa, will be standing upright. And how tall will we be at that time? So the word kaimamiyus is plural of the word koma. We all know koma means one floor or height. Two, double. So the mayor oimer masayim ama kishtei koimayshel odomarishon. Odomarishon was
100 amas
tall. And kaimamiyus means two times the koma of odomarishon. Two times 100 is 200. Beautiful. Rashi throws in a historical note that Adam was not originally 100 amos. Originally he was taller than 100 amos. But apparently he was too tall, because the Pasuk says, Batoshes olai kapecha. The Kodesh Baruch Hu put his hand on Adam Rishon and he caused him to shrink.
Reduced him.
And Rashi says the word Batoshes olai kapecha. Kaf is Begimatria Chof is 20. Fei is 80. 20 and 80 together is 100. From this we know that his new reduced form was 100 amis. And since we yin lots of love, we're going to go koimim yus. Two koimis, it means 200 amis. As they zok to me. If you do kuf ama, only 100. Why 100? Can I get heichel bekaisala? Because the length of the heichel was altogether 100. Shenemar, asher banenu kinetim migudolim bin ureyem, benoisenu kizoviyos mechutavois tavnes heichel. Our banenu means our sons will be kinetim migudolim bin ureyem, as if they're tall trees that were planted when they were young. And I say, and our daughters will be so beautiful, as if they are cut out in a beautiful fashion, just like the heichel. Okay, so what are we therefore saying? We're saying is that the height of the people at the time of Los Angeles, going into Yerushalayim, and going into the Beis HaMikdash, some of them, or at least according to Reb Meir, they're going to be 200 amos tall. According to Yehuda, they're going to be 100 amos tall. So let me ask you a question, says Igmar. Didn't we say a moment ago that they were creating these beautiful doors for the Shari Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Yochanan said that they're going to be Beroim Esrim, they're going to be 20 amas tall. If the people are 200 amas tall, how are they going to fit through a door which is only 20 amas tall? So you're going to say, well, maybe they're going to bend over. But Rashi says in Chumash, Kaimimiyas means V'koim is a Kufa. They're going to be standing. How can you go and stand? Be 100 or 200 amas tall, and you're going through a doorway which is only 20 amas. V-gate. Very good. So, Zok the Gemara. Amrit the Gemara, Kikam Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Yochanan said 20 by 10, he was not talking about the height of the doors, but the height of the windows. That they're going to be window panes in the doorways, as well as perhaps in the Chumash Yerushalayim, that will be only 20 feet tall. But the doors of course are going to be either 100 or 200 to accommodate the people that are walking in or going into Yerushalayim and ultimately to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kavi de Beis Zika. Kavi de Zika says Rashi means windows in Yerushalayim. Talk to Baruch. Okay, so all of that is very exciting. Now let's go back to the pasuk that we said before, that the time will come and Nachal is going to be leading out of the Kachi Kudishim, and they're going to have leaves litrufa. Litrufa Pashup Shat means for a medical remedy. Question is, which remedy? What's for a remedy? So Gemara has now three explanations. You have Rav Yitzchak Bar Dimi and Rav Chisda. Chanam al-Hatir Peh Shol Mala, Chanam al-Hatir Peh Shol Mata. They're both taking the word trufa and they're splitting it down the middle. Trufa means heter peh, to be matir, to open up the opening, the mouth. Which mouth are we talking about? One says the peshul mala, one says the peshul matir. What does that mean? Itma chizki omar lahatir peh ilmin. Anybody that until now was an ilang, ilang means that he's mute. Ekonish ren, he cannot speak. The Hatepeh, he'll be able to now speak for the first time. He's going to take from these leaves, put it into his mouth, he's going to eat it, drink it, whatever, they're going to cook it, and that's going to be Matepeh, Trufa, Heterpeh, Ilman, he'll be able to speak. The Parkapar Omar, the Hatepeh Akores. Those that have difficulties, women that have difficulty in giving birth, they are unfortunately barren. The opening doesn't allow for a child to go through. They're going to open up that opening. That's the Hatepeh, the Peh Lamata, not the Peh Lamata.
They'll no longer be petrified.
They won't be petrified. Oh, boy. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Letrufa Mamish. It means Mamish Trufa. Frank Gemara, what does that mean, my Letrufa? What's Trufa Mamish? Oh, Rabbi Shimon Bar Nachmani Amar, Letrufa Panim Shel Bali HaPeh. Vos Mentis. We'll see in another line that the Talmid HaChacham in the times of Chazal, and perhaps many still today in Eretz Yisrael, where unfortunately many of them were under the poverty line. They were very, very poor. And therefore they had very poor nutrition, very poor nourishment. And as a result, their peinema, peina means their faces, were not glowing white, they got dark, they were black. Morris says the thing about Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah was Rabbi Yeshua that we find in the Mishnah. He was a great, great Odom Godel, like one of the Gedolei Hadar, and he was friendly with the Kesar, and then the Bas Kesar said to him, how come the Torah, which is so beautiful, it's a Torah Mufoyer, the clay, Keli Mechoyer. He, Rabbi Yeshua, unfortunately, was ugly because of his black complexion, because of the fact that he didn't eat properly, and he didn't sleep properly, didn't have enough nutrition, not enough nourishment. It's a famous story.
He was a blacksmith, too.
Blacksmith, as well. Anyway, so the Gemara is Zoktach, that's the Trufa, that those Talmidei Chacham, the Bali Peh, Bali Peh means those that are learning, giving Shiurim, learning Talmud, learning Gemara, their Torah upon them, the countenance of their faces, unfortunately, was black or darkened. And now this Trufa is going to be Matir Peh. Not Matir like we had before, Matir Peh Ilman, but the word, the beginning of the Trufa, the Tof Reish, is Letoyar Ponim Shabali Peh.
Toyah means
Yifas Toyah. Very good. So Toyah means the countenance, the facial features. Those are going to be improved. Like the Gemara explains, Zeresh Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, Kol Hamashchir Ponav Al Divrei Toyah Boilam Azeh. A person who in this world is Mashchir Ponav. In other words, he allows his face to be turned black and green and yellow and all colors because he doesn't eat properly, he doesn't sleep properly. He's only learning, learning, learning. Kadosh Baruch Hu Mavik Zivoy Li Oilam Haba. Kadosh Baruch Hu will cause that his countenance, his face, is going to shine. Shnema Mareyu Kalavonin Bocher Karozim. Ah, beautiful, beautiful Mara that he's going to have. Lots of love it. Amar Rav Tamcha Bar Chiloni Chan Niloy Kolamar of Atzvah Divrei Torah Boilam Azeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu, start again. A Talmud Chacham that doesn't eat enough in this world, but he's Mariv. That means he causes himself to fast, to famine. Why? Because he doesn't eat properly. Shnel, learn, 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 learn. I can eat later, I don't have to eat now. He's going to be Saveya, he's finally going to be satisfied. Shnemar, Yirvion Mideshen Beisacha Benachal Adonecha Sashke. The word Yirvion means to sate, to make someone satisfied or satiated. Mideshen Beisacha from the Shmaltz. Mideshen means that the fats of your house. Benachal Adonecha and the Nachal, that running water, the river, Adonecha, of your delicacies, Sashkem, you'll give them to go and drink. Ah, so, Los and Lavoi, they're going to be Masbia for the first time. They'll be able to go and say, Yo, Baruch Hashem, I ate well and I drank well. Kiyosir of Dimiyama, Osir Kadosh Baruch Hu, Litin Chol Tzadik, Tzadik, Maloi, Umsoi. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give every Tzadik, Los and Lavoi, a full Oymes. What means an Oymes? As Rashi, that means a full fistful of wonderful things. That's going to be the present for every tzaddik. Shneamar, it says in the pasuk, Baruch Hashem Yoyim Yoyim Yamos Lanu Hakel Yeshua Sein Yisala. The Yamos Lanu is Meloshen Oymes. Normally, Yamos Lanu could mean to put a burden on us, but here the Yamos means to go and give you Meloy Umsoi, a fistful, a handful of goodness. Abaye was somewhat concerned. Amli Abaye, can you say physically, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give a fistful of goodness to a tzaddik? It says in the pasuk, "Mimodad b'sha'olay moyim b'shamayim b'zeres tikein." The whole shemayim, all the heavens, have the size of a zeres. What's a zeres? A zeres is the span between a thumb and the pinky. In between this, from here to here, that's called a zeres. The whole shemayim is in the zeres, which is presumably less than the whole fistful. And you're telling me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you the entire shemayim, which is a fistful. He's going to hand it to every tzaddik. How is that possible? Where is the tzaddik going to put it? He's going to put it in his pocket? He can't carry it. It's as big as the whole Shemayim and more. Omar, so he told him back. This is what Abaye asked. And who was the one that said this Rav originally? Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi said to Abaye, my time with Shechichas Bagadata, he should have been at the Haggadah Shir. He should go to the Shiurim on from Rabbi Steinberg on
Sunday?
What's Sunday?
Isn't it Sunday?
I mean, there can be two shiurim this Sunday. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be a garetz. It's going to be halach. Oh. Maybe there'll be some garetz too. Okay. Anyway, so why don't you go to Rabbi Steinberg's shiurim on Tanakh and Rabbi Rothstein's shiurim on Lashon Hara, and you go to other shiurim. Why didn't you come to your garetz yeshiva? The Amma Marova, because they say in Eretz Yisrael, which made the Rova bar Mary. Every tzaddik is going to have 310 oylamis. 310 oylamis means 310 worlds. By the way, this is also the lashon of the last Mishnah in Shas in Masechtas Uktzin. How do I know 310? Shem says the Basel Hanchel Oyhavi Yesh Vaytreseim Amale. Kadosh Baruch Hu says I'm going to give my Oyhavim, my beloved. I'm going to give them Yesh. What is Yesh? Yesh Begimatria Tlas Meyavasara. 310. Exactly right. And that's why it's called Shai Olamis. Not only because Brother Shai is listening to the shir on the Zoom, but because Shai is 310 altogether. At the last year, they honored Brother Shai at the annual Rabbi Vorhan Tzimla Malka. One of the Darshanim said, he's Marumis in that Mishnah, the Shai Olamis. Is, I'm sorry?
In Uxen,
right. Let's mention Uxen.
He's not sure. He's shy even once.
Okay, anyway. So that's three. And
Shelley was also honored at that same, self-same Lamaka.
Oh, Shelley, that's right, Shelley.
It was 2 years ago.
That's 3 years ago. Okay. Shelley is shy plus Lamed. Okay, so anyway, let's get back to our Gemara.
That's Shalom Slami.
Tanya.
For those of you who are curious, why? What's up? 310 Elamas. So the Tveris Yisrael says on that mission, the end of Mesechtas Uktzin, because how many mitzvahs are there, D'oraisa? 613, right? Tariag, 613. Everybody agrees? And then he says, Midrabanan, there's 7 more mitzvahs. I mean, there's so many more chumris and gezeiros. 7 mitzvahs. And he says, how do you remember the 7 mitzvahs? He says, it's easy mnemonic, Be'onon hacham. Be'onon bey stands for brachas. All brachas is Rabbanan, with the exception of birchas, hamozoin, machloik is got birchas atayra. Otherwise, all the other brachas is Rabbanan. The Ein stands for Erevin, like Eruv Tavshilin, Terabonon. Nun stands for Neris, like Neris Shabbos. Next Nun stands for Netzilas Yadayim, that you have to wash hands before you eat bread. And then you have Hacham. Hey stands for saying Hallel. Ches stands for Chanukah, Neris Chanukah. And Mem stands for Megillah. So the Onan Hacham is 7 mitzvahs Terabonon. How much is 613 plus 7?
620.
Also, communion Keser Torah. Keser, the crown of Torah, Kof Taf Reish, is 620. Taf and Reish. Tough is a tough one. That's 400. Yep. Reish is 200, 400, 200, 600. Chof is 620. Says it's very Yisrael. Could any one of us on our own take upon ourselves all 620 mitzvahs on our own? Torah matesh is koich shalonim. So we have to have someone to help us. So either it's kavyochel the Rabbi Shalom that helps us, or another pshat is a spouse helps you. Without your spouse, you have to cook and you have to do it, you have to do laundry and
all. The Shabbos candles.
Exactly. So she helps you out in half of the work, and therefore she gets half of the schar. Or if the Rabbeinu Shalom is doing it, Kodesh Baruch Hu Kavi Yochel gets half the schar. How much is half of 620?
310.
That's why the tzaddik gets 310, because he did 310, she did the 310, etc. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so that's why you have. So what's the tariff of the Gemara? Teretz Gemara is 1 second. If you're going to go and tell me that the tzaddik is only get one oilam, and you get, in other words, the oilam that we live in, that to go and get the whole oimus, to get the whole fistful, you'd have to give the whole shemayim and hand it over. I don't have room for that. However, if he has 310 oilamas, then he can go and divvy it up among all the 310. He has such a huge storage of oilamas. And then he can go and squeeze among all the 310. He can go and squeeze in that oimis, that fistful of brachas that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving to him. You had a question? Please share it with us.
Half of, I said, is 310 of Kesser. Three people got two tsarim and said Nasev Nishma.
Oh, very good. So 2 times 6. It's 620 again. Beautiful. It was a great thought. Very thoughtful of you. Shkut. Shkoyach. And we continue on, Tanya. 3 lines to the bottom. The way a person acts on this world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu pays him back in kind. The same midah, the same type of measure, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you back. The word besasa comes from the word sa'a, which of course is a large measure. The measure that you do, our Kodesh Baruch Hu repays it in kind. When I was learning it with my chavrusa, he suggested maybe besasa is a combination of 2 times sa'a. saw, which are merged together. So you produce a saw, Kadosh Baruch Hu's moedin, he gives you back a saw. What is this all referring to? I'm sorry, Amr Yeshua. Is it possible to go and say, Adam noisin mulai imsai li oni ba'ilam hazeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu noisin lai mali imsai li olam haba? Are you going to go and tell me that mida k'neged mida, if a person opens up his arm, his fist, his hand, and he gives the whole fistful of money to the ani, holding in his hand $100, $500, $1,000, whatever it happens to be, and he hands it over to the ani. You can say, mida k'neged mida, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give his whole handful to you. Olam haba, v'ksiv. Same question that we asked a moment ago. Shemayim bezeres tikein. The whole Shemayim is in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands from the, it's called a span in English, S-P-A-N, from the agudel, from the thumb to the pinky. Dos tikein to Shemayim. He's going to hand it over to you. Is that possible? Can a person go and take all of that mida, mida kereg and mida, and it sounds... He asked the Mechviat, don't you agree? You agree with me. Why? Because Ezi Mida Meruba, Mida Toiva, Meruba, or Mida Peronius. Which one is greater? The Mida Toiva, in other words, a reward that a person gets, or Mida Peronius, or the punishment that a person gets. Heavy Oimer, we have a rule, the Mida Toiva, Meruba, Mida Peronius. Normally, the Gemara brings a raya from the Shloisha Tzemidus, where it says, Hashem only punishes to four generations, but he goes and pays them back to 2,000. So it's 500 times as much. So Midas Toiv is much more than Midas Paradis. However, here the Gemara brings a different right. Now Midas Toiv accepts the Pasuk, V'yitzav shchokim imal, v'dalce shamayim pasuch, v'yamta aleim mon lechol. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael to eat mon in the Midbar, he opened up the dalce. Dalce, of course, are the doors of Shamayim.
Yeah.
However, Midas Paradis u'aymer, by the Mabel, Arubais Hashemayim Niftachu. Kadosh Baruch only opened up the Arubais. Arubais are like the windows or the trapdoors. Mm-hmm. So which one is larger? Rashi says, a delus is four times the size of an Aruba. So we see, therefore, that the Mida Toiva of the Dalsi Shemayim Pasach, to give them one lechel, four times as large as the Midas Peronius of the Mabel Arubais Hashemayim. Ah. And therefore, Midas Peronius Ksiv, Vayetzu V'ro'u, V'yotzu V'ro'u, Bepigra Anoshim HaPoishim Bi, this is talking about Loss of Lavoi, when we're going to have the famous or infamous Melchama with the Goygo Magog, that the Magogians, those that get killed, they're going to go and lie there, Pigarim are carcasses, a carcass of these individuals, Hapoishimi that all sinned, Kitalatam Leisamus. The worms that eat away at a dead carcass are not going to die. They're going to live for many years. It's hindered tzonsik. The ishom leisichpe and the esh, the fire that consumed their bodies, will never get extinguished. For you derun lechol basas, it's going to be a terrible. It's going to be rejected, repugnant lechol basas for everyone. So now, frankly, Mara, vali odem moishet etzboi ba'or ba'ilam hazeh. What happens if a person just goes and puts his finger into a fire by accident, just for 1 second? I got a burn. Blah, blah, blah. I got some ice. It really hurts. And yet you're telling me that here, by the Midas Peronius, these are people that are lying there for hundreds of years, perhaps thousands of years, and v'ishlam leisichpe, it just burns and burns and burns. How could that be? There should be nothing left to burn. Is the chasim in the Midas Peronius is much worse than, is very, very difficult. And we just said now that Klal Yisrael and the Tzaddikim, the Midas Toiva is much better than the Midas Peronius. So if the Midas Peronius is so awful. That is so awful that the fire is going to last forever, it's k'shem shenoyset Kadosh Baruch Hu koyach b'rishoyim lekal b'ponusam. Just like Kadosh Baruch Hu, besides giving them the punishment, he gives them the wherewithal to deal and to endure that punishment, even for hundreds of years. Kach nisik Kadosh Baruch Hu koyach b'tzaddikim lekabel tevasam, when he's going to give them that huge present called the fistful, the oimes, like the Gemara called it in Yomid Aleph, you're saying, where is he going to put it? What is he going to do? Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him the koyach to be makabel, that fistful of tithe. Okay, with this we have completed now the first two or three categories in our Mishnah when we said, v'yesh she'ein lehem chedek l'olam haba, and now we continue on to the next one, which is Rabbi Kiva Oimer, hafakoyrei b'svarim hachitzoinim. Someone who reads svarim hachitzoinim. What are svarim hachitzoinim? Why are they so bad that a person loses his chelik le'olam haba? Says Yimara Tana, besifrei tzedukim. What means Sifrei Tzedukim? Rashi says, Shekoifer Mikel Chai. These are heretical books that are koifer in a Kodesh Baruch. Now, in old Svarim, it didn't say B'Sifrei Tzedukim, it said B'Sifrei Minim. And the reason why they put in the Tzedukim is because the censors over the years took out Minim and they put in Tzedukim.
The Christian shouldn't be offended.
Exactly. And what does Minim mean? So I saw this many years ago and I've shared this with you in the past. That Min is Rosh HaTevis. Mi Anche Yeshu Notzri. Or others say, Mi Talmide Yeshu Notzri. These are the Yoshkes, right-hand men, the disciples, the Gospels, the Matthew with the Luke and with the Mark and Nochaina.
I wonder if etymologically Minim and Mean have a connection.
Yeah, they're very mean people. But anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, we have a ton of Sifrei Tzedokim. So with Sifrei Minim, it could very well be that we're referring to is reading the New Testament, because the New Testament are the Sefarim of the Anche Yeshu Nutzri. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara. Rav Yosef Omer b'Sefer Ben Sira Nami Osla Mikri. You're also not allowed to read in the Sefer Ben Sira. From Rashi and most of the Rishonim, it's mashma that this is not part of the Sefarim Achitzoinim. You don't lose your Chelik Olam Haba, but rather don't bother, don't waste your time with the Sefer Ben Sira. Rashi says on the right, Sheesh by Divri Havoy, there's a lot of nonsense. What are you wasting your time always looking in these Sefarim? Even if they're nice, enjoyable, they're not heretical, it doesn't make a difference. Wasting your time, yeah, go learn Torah is best. Okay. Now, Abaye apparently was under the impression that there is also a negativity in the Sefer Ben Sira. Not just it's nonsense and a waste of time, but there are bad sayings which could be heretical in nature, which we might reject. So therefore, Abaye asks from a number of he quotes, a number of the psukim in Ben Sira. Oh, by the way, what's the Sefer Ben Sira? Ben Sira was the name of a person, and he wrote this Sefer at the time of the Binyan Beis, during the time that the Beis Midrash was standing. And theoretically, people might have thought that it should be thrown in with the rest of Tanakh, part of the Ksuvim Lamashal. And the answer, no, it was not accepted. In English, it has a fancy name like Hagiographa or something like that.
Apocrypha.
Yeah, Apocrypha, exactly.
So, Mishle Ben Sira, it's probably the Apocrypha.
Sorry. So now you heard it for now you know for sure. Apocrypha, so it's not part of the Tanakh, and therefore stay away from Ben Sira. But Abaye thought that there are negative lessons, and therefore he's saying, I don't understand why. I'm going to buy my time. Well, what's the problem? Ilay Mishlem Dechsevez is the reason because it says there in the Ben Sira, Loi Tintosh Gildena Mi Udne. Gildena, says Rashi, is the name of a fish. And in particular, it's a very inexpensive, cheap fish. Don't strip the fish of its skin, from its ear down. Because if you're going to go and strip the fish, what are you going to do with the skin? You're just going to throw it out. Ella, the best thing is, go and roast the fish on coals or in a fire and leave the skin on. The Eichelben, you'll be able to eat it together with the fish, together with tartan gritzen. Tartan gritzen, says Rashi, means two challah rolls, two bulkalach. That'll be, Rashi says, that'll be a good lift on. That'll be a nice match. Like today, people that eat bagels and lox, you'll open up these two little challah and you throw in some of the roasted fish, and you say, geschmack, and you leave the skin on instead of throwing it out. So now, that's what it says in Ben Sira. Is that the reason why Rav Yosef said, don't look in the Sefer Ben Sira, because this is ridiculous, this is terrible. If the Pashup shot is like we just said it, by Raisinamics, if it's in the Torah, the same thing. That's the famous rule of Baltashchis. Don't waste. So what he's saying is, if you're going to go and strip all of the skin off, you can't eat the skin of the fish on its own. If it's attached to the fish and you roasted it, then it comes kishmak and has a good time. But no one's going to eat it on its own. So that's Baltashchis. So just stay in the Torah. There's nothing wrong with that. In Midrasha, if it's trying to tell us something far more subtle in a drasha, what is it coming to tell us? Oirach ara kamash malon. It's trying to teach you Hilchis derech eret. Toloi livol shaloi kidarka. What does the Gemara mean? Apparently, the minig is, I'm not in the fish stripping business, but when you strip the fish, you don't start from the ear, you start from another part of the body. Stripping it from the ear is considered to be shaloi kedarka. And therefore it's saying, don't do the stripping of the fish shaloi kedarka, which we mean in a b'derech remez, don't live with your wife shaloi kedarka. So if that's what the pasuk is telling us is, it's not just telling normal derech eretz, use your seichel. No, do what you're supposed to do. Don't do it shilei kedarka. There are a couple of reasons it says in the Forshim you shouldn't live shilei kedarka. Number one, because it's your mevatel shichvazer levatola. You moitzi shichvazer levatola. Obviously, this cannot impregnate a woman because it's from the backside. And number two, it's also very painful for the woman when you do it shilei kedarka. So this is not a mitzvah, the mitzvah of oynis to please her, not to go and do it for ket. So therefore, if that's the kavana of the shtikl ben tzira, so good. No reason to eject it or reject it. Because there's another lesson there. It says, bas liavia matmoinishov. When a father gets a maidala, a daughter, a baby daughter, so everybody makes a kiddush, a ganza masa, says the ben tzira matmoinishov. This is really a false treasure. Why is it a false treasure? Because mipachta lo yishan, for the rest of his life, the father cannot sleep at night because he's always afraid. What is he afraid of? Lo yishan b'layla. Bekatnusa, when she's still a ketana, shematispata. Maybe an older boy is going to come over and try to be mafater, in other words, seduce her to go and live as a ketana. She doesn't have enough maturity. She doesn't know the difference. Benarusa, when she becomes an ara, shematizne. Now she's going to go around and see if she can find some boys. Once she gets to Bagra, the Shidduch crisis. This is not a problem in 2025. This is a problem in the times of Chazal. Maybe she won't get married. To Bagra, she won't find a Shidduch. This is Obach Shem, she found a Shidduch. Maybe she won't have any children. She's going to be running from doctor to doctor, hospital to hospital, Rebbe to Rebbe all the time. All these, he won't be able to sleep at night. His kina, once she finally gets old, maybe she's going to become a machshaifa. She's going to become a witch. And so therefore, I'm sorry?
She's going to look like one.
She's going to look like one. She's going to act like one. So therefore, if you're telling me that's what it says in Ben Sira, and that should be rejected, our rabbi said the same thing. The world could not exist without men, without boys, and without girls. Asher misha banav zcharim, voil means praiseworthy, meritorious, is the one that has boys. Oyla misha banav the kavis, for a person that has daughters. For the same reason, all these tzuris that you just told me about. So nothing wrong with what it says in Ben Sira. Derech agav, the meforshim ask, how can you go and say oyla misha banav the kavis? Is that really true? And number two, why did it say banav? Banav is, of course, referring to boys. Shouldn't it say Asher misha banav zcharim, oyla misha benoisav nekevis, not banav nekevis? So I once saw a pshat many years ago that the Gemara is telling us something much deeper, and that is, as you know, the army needs both generals and it needs soldiers. If I happen to be a father or mother and my son is going into the army, what would I prefer? That my son be the general, the leader, or he be just one of the soldiers, just one of the followers?
In general,
we want him to be a general. Oh, very good. That's what he's saying. Ashimi, the word ben in Chazal means the mashpia. The word bas is the makabel. The reason is because in the maisabia, it's the husband that's mashpia into the lady, into the woman, and she's the makabel. Ah, so Ashimi shibun of scharim. Voil, is it praiseworthy, meritorious? Is it someone who has sons, who has charim? They are leaders, they are mashpiyim, they are manhigim, they are the ones that inspire and influence others. He has a bunch of boys, but they're all a bunch of mitchlepers. Yeah, the army needs soldiers, but wouldn't everybody want to have that? Their son should be that general, the five-star general. But make sure not to allow the reporters onto the chat. Mashenkin, the guy with the bunim nekevis, who once said all the children should be a bunch of mitzvahs. Okay. Anyway, bottom line is, so what Ben Sira said, that you're always worried about having a daughter. Yeah, that's true. That's good. More tells us. And let me show you this. I have another reason why. Loitoil davya belipcha, the gabri givrin kotel davya. The word davya, says Rashi, is like the word daiga. Daiga means worries. Worries and concerns. Loitoil davya belipcha. Don't allow for worries and concerns to take over your heart and over your whole system. The Gavri Givarim, even tremendous Giboirim, tremendous, very, very strong and healthy people, Kotel Davya, having the worries and concerns, Chas Hasholem can kill them. Ah, see, so that's why we don't want to learn Ben Sira. Hashloim Mamre, Shloim Mamelech says the same thing. Dag Abalev Ish, Yeshchana. What means Yeshchana? See, Mamre has two. A dag, of course, means that worry in the heart of the person. Rabami Rabasi, Chad Omer, Yasi Chana Midatoi. That means he should ignore it, try to push it away from his mind. he shouldn't think about it. He should think rather about the Toises and about Kiva Eiger and about Shelley's very witty comment, not think about his worries. You should talk it over with others, because when you talk it over with others, a mele, you get it off your chest, and you're able to discuss it with someone else, and they're able to console you and say, yo, nish, and listen. It's weiter, that's not a good reason to reject that zir. Oh, there's another expression. It says in the Ben Sira, refrain from having a lot of people come to your house. Don't bring everybody into your house. In other words, keep it small crowds, privacy. Pray tomorrow. If you think that's so terrible, even if you have lots of friends, don't bring them all into your house. What does it mean? It's good to have lots of friends. They could bring in Russian Ra. They can bring in evil. Well, how can they bring in evil? Says Rashi, because the more friends you have and the more you get into discussions, you discover he's a Republican, you're a Democrat, and he likes Trump, he doesn't like Trump, and all of a sudden, before you turn around, they're already at loggerheads and they're already punching each other. Keep your friends. Be very, very, very good to have lots of friends, but not in your house. Yeah. Now I know the reason why we should not have the Ben Sira. Because he writes in his sefer, Zaldikon. Rashi says Zaldikon means a person who has a straggly beard. Rashi says a beard which is daka bechalusha, not as a full beard, but you know, here's there.
Spotty
beard. Oh. Wispy. Good, very good. Kurtzman. Rashi says Kurtzman means that he is a chochem vecharif. That means a Kodesh Baruch Hu created less hairs over here, but more brains on the top of his head. So he's a sharp fellow. On the other hand, Avdikon, if he has a brighter beard, if he has a real big, thick, bushy type of beard, Sachsen, he's a shoyter. The Nof of Bekase, a person who goes and blows, he takes a full cup of beer, and you know, the beards have the head of foam on the top, and instead of drinking, he goes and blows at it. Says Ben Tzira Leitzachi. It's a simon that he's not really thirsty. Because if he's thirsty, he'll start drinking even if the foam is there.
And he may be at loggerheads with people.
Yeah, loggerheads. Very good. Logger and head. Yeah, very good. Beautiful. Continues Gemara. What happens if he has bread on the table and he's saying, where are all the dips? As you know, today the minig is on Friday night, you have to have 85 dips before you eat even the fish. By the time you get to the fish, I'm already full, I ate all these dips. So he said, how am I going to go and eat the bread without the dips? You could take the bread away from him. He's obviously not sufficiently hungry. Because if he's hungry, he'd eat it without the dips. The fact that he insists on dips, it means so you could take the bread away. Mandi isli mabar to bedikne, a person who has a cut in the middle of his beard, in other words, half of the beard comes to the right, there's a part in the middle. Kuliyamuliyachli, nobody can even get close to him, because that means how brilliant and how smart this person is. So all of those expressions that we just learned now, it's a bunch of baloney. Come on. Just because a person has a straggly beard, that makes him smart. A person has a bushy beard, that means he's stupid. Come on, give me a break. So therefore, that's the reason why we don't look at Ben Sira like Rashi said before. Yesh by divri havoy, there's a lot of nonsense and you're just wasting your time. Okay. But Rav Yosef says, Me'ili ma'alyas the isbe darshinalu. Now this is the same Rav Yosef that said that Sefer Ben Sira osa l'mikri. But he's saying there are exceptions to the rule. All rules have exceptions. If you can find a rule that doesn't have an exception, that's the exception to the rule that all rules have an exception.
Very good.
You see that? You accept it? Yeah, you accepted it. Okay. Amr Rav Yosef, Milim Al Yisad Ispe Dashinlu. A good tevart, you are allowed a dash. For instance, says in Ben Sira, Isha Toiva, if you find a good skaita, a lady that's a good person, good hearted, Matona Toiva Bechek Yirei Alekim Tinase. Give that good woman in the heart of Yirei Alekim as a proper matana, he'll appreciate it to have such a good-hearted woman. But Isha Ra, if she's a bad woman by nature, her DNA is bad, tsaras levala. It's like having leprosy. Not mamish leprosy, but it's tsaras for the husband. Maitakante, the only way of getting refuah is, igashena mi beisai, give I get, yisrat mi tsarata, he won't have the tsaras anymore. There's no way he can deal with it. That's in her DNA. She's bad, bad, bad. He's already gone through it. It's already 60 years with her. He can't handle it anymore. Give a get, and yisrat mi tsarata. So these are good vats. Ishiyofa. What happens if you have an attractive lady? Ashri bala. The husband is so gliklich, he's so happy. This bayom of kiflayim. It's as if you're going to double the amount of his days. In other words, he's so happy each time he sees his wife, fills him with simcha. It's as if you're adding years to his life. Halam einacham eishes chayim. If you see a lady who's an Eishes Ish, not your wife, somebody else's wife, who's nice and charming, stay away. Close your eyes, go away. Because unfortunately you might be ensnared in her trap. In other words, unfortunately, one thing can lead to another in Toynish. And therefore, says more similarly, what happens if you happen to be friends of her husband, and the husband calls you from time to time, come over for a drink, I'm pulling out a new bottle of champagne from 1892, I paid $10,000 for it, it's going to be so gishmak, come and take a drink, stay away. Al tad etzel bala, to go and take a drink. Why? Ki betoyer isha yofya, rabim hushchesu. Because unfortunately, because of the appearance of an attractive woman, many people have unfortunately have gone towards destruction. Vatsumim kol harugia, and many have been, so to speak, killed. In other words, it's terrible. Stay away. Be careful. Rabim hoye pitzei roichel. Now we're talking about a roichel. Roichel is a peddler. And the peddlers in the good old days would peddle from house to house,
and town to town,
very good. They would go and peddle different types of cosmetics and makeups for the ladies. And when they would bring it, so the ladies would try it out and see, is it yogurt, nishkit? Anyway, sometimes whilst they're dealing, then the husband walks in, hey, what are you doing there, you roichel? And he doesn't listen to anything. He takes a baseball bat and he starts hitting him over the head. Get out of here. So that Rabim Hoyu Pitzi Roichel. Many of the roichel have gotten ptsoim. Ptsoim means deep wounds from the husbands that are jealous and are choshed that they're doing something with their wives. So, be careful. Hamagilim nedvar erva kin nitzoitz maver gacheles. Someone who's margul dvar erva, in other words, he tries to push and induce someone to dvar erva to do chas v'shalom such an aveira, kin nitzoitz, it's like a little spark that can burn eventually like a big gacheles, like a big coal. Why? Ki kluv mole oif, just like a kluv is a coop full of oifois, full of birds, kin bateim maleim mirma. Those homes where you have people that are margul dvar erva, that they allow for men and women to get together and to schmooze and to talk and radam, unfortunately, that the Yetzirah will cause a spark to become a gacheles, and the coal is going to become a fire, and the fire can consume the whole house, chas v'shalom. So it's just like this kluv, this coop that is full of oifis, thank you. It's just like this house will be full of mirma, full of deceit, that on the surface everything looks great, but unfortunately behind closed doors, setoynish. This is what we quoted earlier, that don't have large crowds in your home. Why? Because it can cause ro'eya. Rashi said that you might come into a situation of fights and challenges, and it's only going to bring bad upon you. It's good to have lots of friends, like the Gemara says. Ram yu dorshi shloimcha. Yes, go to many people and shalom aleichem and vosmachter and hello and be friendly, Ahavas Yisrael. Go and give them an embrace. That's all great. However, gali soitcha liyachem yalef. However, when you're sharing your secrets, don't give it out to all your 1,000 friends. Only to one friend out of 1,000. You don't want this to spread and people will know about it. Even mishachevus cheikcha shmar pischei picha. Even from your own wife that you share shchiva with. Also, you don't have to tell her everything because ladies tend to schmooze a lot, and not all of them go to Rabbi Rothstein's shir on Lashon Hara, and therefore one thing can lead to another. You know, the less the people know about your soidus, the better it is.
The best thing is to keep your mouth shut.
Exactly. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. Why shouldn't you worry about tomorrow? You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're worrying today what's going to happen tomorrow. You might not live through the day today. By the time tomorrow comes around, instead of having to worry about your worries, you have to call the Chevra Kadisha to go and take the person away. So, if you're going to go worry about tomorrow, maybe you won't even be around tomorrow. So, deal with your problems as they arise. You don't have to start worrying about them in advance. Okay. Now from here to the bottom of the Amid, we're going to continue quoting now from Ben Sira, but the focus is going to be on the same pasuk several times. In Mishlei it says, Kol yimei oni roim, all the days of a poor person are bad. And the pasuk finishes off, the toiv leiv mishta tamid, which we're going to talk about shortly. But kol yimei oni roim, so that's what it says in the pasuk. Why are all the days of a poor person bad? Because every day, unfortunately, has no food, and every day a mutzitzach and parnasa, and being able to bring food on the table for his family and for himself, etc. Ben Sira adds, af leilois, even the nights are bad. Now, the nights are not bad. The nights, everybody sleeps at night. So what's the problem?
No.
Even a night, Bishwal Gagim Gagoy Vimroim Horim Karmai. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains the Ben Tzira. Nimtar Gagim Li Gagoy Umay Offer Karmai Li Kramin. Again, what is that all about? So Rashi explains the following. That because this person is poor, his house will be shorter than all of his neighbors' houses. And the neighbors' houses will, some of them will be stacked behind him. And if there's a big, big rain, it's first going to go onto their roofs, and it's not going to stay there. The roofs are slanty, and then it would pour from their roof. And what do you think the final recipient is going to be? This poor guy's house, all at the bottom, all the water is going to spill onto his house, and he's going to have problems with leaks and having to fix his roof. And this is happening in the middle of the night. He didn't do anything. He's sleeping. Now, but he has a water starting to drip in. And
it's the Gog rule.
It's the Gog rule, right. Very good. Bishval Gagim Gagoy, because since his Gog happens to be Shofel, it's slower than all the others, it's all going to go and fall into his house. Ubimroim Horim Karmoy. So Rashi explains, to go and buy a vineyard, vineyards can be expensive, but the most expensive ones are the ones which are closest to the ground, so you don't have to climb all the way up the hill. If you want to have an inexpensive kerem, you'll always buy the one that's highest towards the top of the mountain, because it's harder to get there. You have to kriechzach every day, up and down, back and forth.
And the topsoil blows off.
That's the next shtickle. So at this point, it's much cheaper, and that's why an oni is going to go and buy the meroim harim karma. However, the problem is, mimtar gagim legagim, by the rain, we said, the mutter is going to jump off of their gagim onto his gag, umiafar karmoy, the topsoil that he puts onto his kerem, so that the vines and the grapes should go and become luscious grapes and delicious. All of that, since it's towards the top of the mountain, whenever there happens to be a flood, or there's going to be a lot of rain, a lot of snow, and wind, blah, blah, all that topsoil is going to fall down the crumb to the crumb down below. And that's going to be a pretty crummy situation. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the crummy law. Anyway, so bottom line is, even the leilois are also bad. Simon, the next few members are going to be Zera, Rob, Misharshia, Chanina, Toivia, Yana, Yofach, Yoichanan, Merachim, Yeshua, Mekatz. And the first member is Reb Zera. Reb Zera. Rav. Might as well the pasuk call you may oni run. That's what we just spoke about. Eilu Bali Talmud. Toiv Leiv, Mishta Talmud, Eilu Bali Mishta. So this is one pasuk. The days of an oni are all bad. Toiv Leiv, a person who's has a good heart, we'll see what that means in a moment. Mishta Talmud, he's always having a good time, he's always feasting, and he's always having a party. So what does that mean? So Reb Zera says, the poor person who is having a bad time, it's Royim, those are Balitam, those are people that learn Gemara. Why people learn Gemara, says Rashi, seven lines before the end, on the left-hand side, Bali Talmud, Shekosha Lilmai Meiruf Kushiyois V'sugya Shiyeshpoi. Gemara is the Chazoi Shver. Every single Gemara, what's the Svarah Abai, what's the Svarah Rava, Reb Lezer, and Reb Yeshua, and Beisil, and Beishamai, what's Pshat, they don't understand the Shver, and I have a stira from another Gemara. However, Mishnah, says Rashi, Noichalumai, Mishnah is very easy, you go into Mishnah, you know, it's pretty good, goes pretty quickly. So the Yemei Oniroim, that's the Bali Talmud, those are Muchinzah, Chanishtikul Gemara. Toivle Mishnah Talmud, those are having a party at all times, those are Bali Mishnah, because you can finish the Mishnah is quickly. Rava Amar Ipcha, just the opposite. Why just the opposite? Explains Rashi. See the last Rashi, Rava Amar Ipcha, five lines from the bottom. The Bali Talmud Nenem Yigioi. Even though they have to butch itself, they have to put in a lot of avoidah, a lot of hard work and learning. But at the end, Nenem Yigioi, they're going to have enough from all of that Yigia. Sheyedu Lahoiris Isvehetr. By the time they finish the Gemara, they'll know the halacha zazoi, it's halacha zazoi. Of Bali Mishnah, Shoina, he learns it and he remembers it and he memorizes it. Then he still doesn't know what the halach is. Because how many times the Gemara says? That's what it says in the Mishnah, but the Brisa says the opposite. Or Surah Mechzer, you have to add a few words, you take off a few words. So you can have a pasuk from the Mishnah. So therefore, according to Rava, says the Gemara, it's just the opposite. Kol Yimei Oni Roim, those are the Bali Mishnah. Because, yes, he's learned the whole Shisha Seder Mishnah. But he can't paskin even the simplest shayla because he doesn't know how you paskin these mishnayos. Toiv lev mishnah talmud. These are the Bali Talmud that learned the Gemara. They've gone through the Rambam and the Meforshim, and now they can paskin aloch alamais. V'hainu, since we just said now in the name of Rava that the Bali Talmud are more fortunate, if you will, than the Bali Mishnah, and the Yomer Bishash made the Rava, the same Rava, might have said the pasuk Masia Avonim Yotzid Behem Eilu Bali Mishnah Uvikia Eitzim Yisachin Behem Eilu Bali Talmud. Talking about that it's a cold day and a person wants to warm up. So the person who's chiseling out the stones from the quarry, he's just going to be upset and aggrieved. That was in the Bali Mishnah. He's not getting any warmth from these stones. If anything, the stones are cold. The person who's chopping the wood, he could take the wood and use it as firewood. You'll be able to warm himself up. So even though it's difficult to go and cut down all the trees and everything, but eventually the Bali Talmud will be very happy. He'll be warmed up because of the Bekei Eitzim. So that's similar to what Rav is saying, that the Bali Talmud are more fortunate than the Bali Mishnah. Reb Chanina Oimer, Kol Yimei Oni Roim, Zem Mishiyesh Loi Isha Ro'a. It's a person, unfortunately, who has a bad wife. Every day is dread. He wakes up in the morning, oh no, what is Sprinze going to do today to make my life miserable? So Kol Yimei Oni Roim, yes, Isha. The Toivlei Mishnah Talmud, what is that referring to? Zem Mishiyesh Loi Isha Toiv. Ah, a good skype for a wife. She's always so gracious, always so nice to me and my family and my friends and to everybody. Ah, Mishnah Talmud, he can always rejoice, he can dance all the time. Rabbi Yani Oimer, Kol Yimei Oni Roim, Zem Istinis. Istinis means a person who's very finicky. You go and give him food. I don't like that. And I don't think you put too much spice on. And this doesn't have enough sugar in it. It's not sweet. And this is a little bit too salty. I get it. She's never satisfied. Whatever you give him, it's this and this kid, and yet this kid. So Kol Yimei Oni Roim. He's never satisfied. Toiv Lishta Mitamid, Zeshadati Yofi. Lata Yofi means he's easygoing. Okay, it's a little salty, a little sweet, it's peppery. It doesn't matter. It's good. Everything is good. So this type of person who has such a good, positive outlook on life, a good approach, he's always going to be happy. To have listened to him, yeah, so the portion's a little bit small, it's a little too big. That doesn't matter, this is good. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol Yimei Oni Roim Zeh Rachmoni, a person who has too much rachmonis, too much compassion, another takes everything to heart. He can never close himself from other people's tzuris. Sorry, this is a person who has a little bit of cruelty in him. Of course, it's not good to be cruel. But if you have cruelty, that means that, yes, you heard the terrible story about Yankel and Beryl and Shmerl, but then you say to yourself, okay, but that's not me, that's them. You distance yourself. So then,
self-preservation.
Oh. I remember they said the story about the Alter Kapitschitz Rebbe Zatzal lived a long life to his late 80s or into his 90s, Grace Tzadik. When he passed away, his son took over. Ramosha did not want to be a Mamalamakam. He did not want for any money in the world. He didn't want to be. He says, I'm not Roy. I'm not in the status of my father. But they pushed him and they pushed him. Shine. He started off, his father had been Rebbe for about 40 or 50 years, from like the age of 30 to age of 80 or 40 to 90 or something like that. But this Ramosha knew, as they called him, he started off as Rebbe, I think he was age of 60. And then 3 years later, 63, he passed away. And everybody was shocked. Wow, he just became Rebbe 2-3 years ago. And you know, and then they said that he had gone to the doctors a number of times, and the doctor said that, Rebbe, you got to be very careful with yourself. All the chassidim that are coming to you with their problems and crying, my daughter needs a shidduch, my son needs a refuah, I don't have panasa, and this and that. He took it all to heart, and he wasn't able to distance himself. And so the doctor said, you can't do that, otherwise it's just too... And the Nebuch, he passed away from terrible congested heart failure. So you got to be a
shtick.
Exactly. That he was congested with that. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Kol Yimei Oni Roim, Ze Tapri Amid, Ze Shedati Ketzora. That's a person who is, Rashi has two pshatim. The second pshat of Rashi is he's a ragzan. He is a very short tempered individual. So a person like that, every time something bothers him, he gets a mosquito bite. Hey, he's going crazy, he goes nuts. So that's a person who is may Oni Roim. Yes, it's good. Okay, so I got a mosquito. It'll go away. Don't worry. But it'll be cured. I'll ignore it. So then, that's a person that Dr. Rechava. He doesn't get, doesn't allow these types of things to bother. Bring him over, Yeshua ben Levi. Kol Yimei Oni Roim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, the pasuk says, Kol Yimei Oni Roim. Isn't the Shabbos Yontif Sachivaldik? Says Rashi, even the greatest Oni. When it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, everybody buys delicacies. So he has a gishmak a kigal, a gishmak a chulin, galareta, or whatever he buys for Shabbos and Kovat Shabbos. So it's not kol yimei. Sunday through Friday is better. Shabbos, koinish, it's a givaldik. The problem is kiddush Shmuel. And Barry will tell you, Shmuel is a doctor.
Yes.
Anytime you change your normal diet, your normal routine, your normal menu, and you start eating things which might be the biggest delicacies in the world. But if you're not used to it, you're used to eating just plain bread and salt and maybe a bissel pita or something like that. And Shabbos, you have a geshmak, a children kegel, automatically the stomach says, hey, I'm not used to this routine, that he gets all types of stomach problems, and he has to go to a gastroenterologist. So kol yemei on your own, even Shabbos in Yontif, when he eats the geshmak of things, also, unfortunately, it can be bad because he's just not used to all these wonderful delicacies. Shkoyach, everybody, for